This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Oh yeah, a little bit of the Everly Brothers for you. Wake up, little Susie. You remember that? Maybe some of us still need to be woken up this morning. It's already 10:07. But good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my partner and buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you for being with us. It is Monday, November the 21st already. 3 more days to Turkey Day, I believe. You're going to have a big family reunion? You're going to talk politics? I wonder how many people get into arguments on Thanksgiving Day over politics these days. Probably quite a few. Anyway, in a few minutes, Braden Bocek of the Southeastern Legal Foundation will be calling us about halting discriminatory farm spending by the federal government. And we got a lot of things on the books besides that. While diesel prices are taking off, so apparently are union rail workers. We are going to take a look at both problems as our economy continues to sputter. And should we be paying climate change reparations to poor countries? Well, that is what the United Nations has decided we are going to do, to actually pay money to poor countries because of climate change? What's going on with that? We're going to take a look. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 states with the lowest rate of obesity. Got a little bit of a cold, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of trying to make it through this show, but we will do so. We love doing the show. Picked up a little bug the other day, but I'm trying to get over it. So, we got a lot going on, and I can't wait to talk with Braden from SLF, Southeastern Legal Foundation, in a few minutes, about this problem of discriminatory farm spending. Yeah, they're actually bringing a woke policy, apparently, to farm spending. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we got two things going on that are major impediments to our economy. Nationwide truckers and trucking companies have been dealing with the rising price of diesel fuel since this summer, as most of you know. And there is apparently no sign that these prices are coming down. According to AAA, 1 year ago, a gallon of diesel was $3.65. You know what it is now? It's $5.33. It's almost $2 more than it was a year ago. Now, these high prices, coupled with a trucker shortage, and now you see why. When you're going into the store, whatever product you're looking for is not as, you know, the quantity is not there, but also look at the price, right? You got sort of a double whammy going on. And there is also a shortage of drivers. So we got, you know, that going on as well. Diesel is now, as I said, $5.35 a gallon. Excuse me. Now, diesel is refined from crude oil and is the fuel of choice not only for trucks, but in the farm industry. All the farm vehicles use diesel. Manufacturing equipment, that's diesel. So when we have prices like that, can you now see why it's so expensive? Of course. In the meantime, we got a trucker, a rail union strike. If things weren't bad enough with the trucking, one of the largest railroad labor unions voted down an agreement with rail management, and it raises the likelihood of a strike in a couple of weeks. Great. Nothing like having a rail strike in time for Christmas, right? Things are bad enough. We're going to have that now. So this is a union which represents maintenance employees, apparently. The strike will occur December the 5th. Apparently it's over money. I'm trying to see what else there is here. But you know, once that happens, other unions join in to, what's the word, sympathize with what those union people are going through. So you're going to have that problem as well. Things are tough all over, are they not? So, we are going to, let's do this, Ed. Let's take our break now, and let's get into our little discussion on the other side with Braden Bochek.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Number, please. Hotline. Calling on the hotline. For your love.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us on Freedom Works. Delighted to have Braden Bochek join us. He is the director of litigation at the Southeastern Legal Foundation, and they have filed a comment to, I guess to Washington, a formal comment regarding the implementation of a section of the Inflation Reduction Act, which wants to compensate past victims of discrimination in the farm lending program. Braden, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you on. Tell us a little bit about this. Most people don't know anything about this, but apparently there seems to be some attempt here to compensate past victims of discrimination with farm aid. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. But this is an old thing that the department has been doing. The department has been raining cash upon past victims that it discriminated against going back decades now. We've spent well over $2 billion to remediate past efforts to bail out the Department of Agriculture for its past racism. And buried deep in the grievously misnamed Inflation Reduction Act, we set aside another $2.2 billion to award to more past victims of discrimination. So the first question I have to ask is, why is the Department of Agriculture so profoundly racist, and why do we keep rewarding it with money?
Yeah. So they have been discriminating, and tell me a little bit about specifically, how has the department discriminated based on race?
Well, historically, the department has discriminated against persons of particular races in its administration of its farm loan lending programs that it sends out to the nation's farmers and ranchers. That's resulted in multiple class action settlements. The department has doled out money for this in the past. But, you know, really the worst part about this particular effort is that the Department of Agriculture itself isn't going to spend this money. The way the Inflation Reduction Act is set up is the Department of Agriculture is going to select non-governmental entities to spend $2.2 billion of taxpayer money. You can only imagine who they're going to select.
Yeah, it seems to me to be a royal mess, to be honest with you, about how this is this whole process goes about happening. So there has been legitimate discrimination, is that true, over the years where a particular racial group was actually shortchanged because of their race?
Oh, yes, there's no question about it. But to the extent that that reaches into the modern era, the department has really struggled to show that any of that has not been remediated or that it's continuing to discriminate in its farm loan lending programs. And if it is continuing an act of discrimination, I'd really like to see some consequences for the Department of Agriculture. I suspect if one were to peruse the personnel files of Department of Agriculture, we would not find $2.2 billion worth of employment retaliation efforts against department employees who are allegedly committing these racist acts.
I see. So tell us a little bit about this formal comment. What is a formal comment, and what are you actually asking for?
Yeah, so one of the ways in which modern government works is Congress doesn't really write laws. Congress writes laws and then hands it off to the administrative agencies to go about effectuating those laws. So Congress wrote this law saying, here's $2.2 billion for the Department of Agriculture to spend on victims of discrimination, but the Department of Agriculture needs to figure out who actually is a victim of discrimination, and the Department of Agriculture needs to figure out which one of these third-party non-governmental entities are going to do the decision-making. So they post a rule saying, hey, we're getting ready to implement this program. How should we do it? And what SLF has done is told them, A, number one, if you're going to do this, it needs to be administered on a race-neutral basis. Do not just assume that whole categories of people are eligible as past victims of discrimination just based on their skin color. And B, we have very serious concerns from a good governance perspective about selecting these non-governmental entities to spend governmental money. I mean, when have you ever seen government assign the role of spending money? That's the one thing this administration's good at, spending money.
Oh, that's it. I mean, the money, we spend money we don't have. We're talking with Braden Bocek. He is the director of litigation at the Southeastern Legal Foundation. By all this money that apparently is going to be spent, and how to, it's going to be spent, and why it's going to be spent in discrimination. Is there any chance you're going to be able to stop some of this nonsense?
Well, we've got to watch to see how the program gets implemented, but yes, we have very serious concerns that the way in which they're going to implement it is either going to be illegal or unconstitutional. And if that happens, we will swiftly intervene. We've got a nearly 40-year, over 40-year history of stepping in and stopping egregious governmental actions, and we'll do the same thing here.
Well, it's you know, right now, the price of the cost of farm, well, the cost of food, let's just say that, is through the roof. The worst it's ever been, at least in my lifetime. Is this litigation, is this money regarding all of this discriminatory federal spending, is the cost of farm food going to go up because of it?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a misallocation of $2.2 billion that might be used to better increase production or address supply chain problems, but nobody's really serious about that. This administration is constantly fixated on its quote-unquote equity agenda, And rather than addressing the things that the bread and butter kitchen table issues that Americans care about, it's just race, race, race over and over again. And Americans are just would rather see our government address inflation.
Can we identify some of the people that are making the decisions as to how the money is going to be spent? I mean, we never know the man behind the curtain, as it were, you know? The legislation, like you say, is passed, and then it goes to some group of people that now determine how the money is going to be spent. But we never do we ever have a way of identifying these people? Maybe if this was brought more into, I don't know, into the open. Now, you guys are certainly doing your share. But maybe if there was a way we could get, you know, the names and the addresses or whatever of the people that are really involved in doing this, maybe we'd get more accountability.
Certainly, there's a real role to play for Congress to regain its oversight role. That's one of the most critical functions assigned to Congress, and one in which its muscles have really atrophied over the years, and that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be very time well spent for members of Senate Ag or even House Oversight to try and figure out how the government is going to send out this money. After all, these are going to private governmental groups to figure out how to spend. There's just a latent problem with conflict of interest and transparency once you send that money out to outside groups to make this determination. I mean, this is really a governmental function. Why we're giving it out to outside groups is just beyond me.
So, again, this move to implement this spending program, is it part of the Inflation Reduction Act?
Yes, you could be forgiven for being surprised because this really doesn't have anything to do with inflation or reduction thereof. But very little of the Inflation Reduction Act actually addressed inflation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more, if you would, Braden, about the Southeastern Legal Foundation. What is your purpose?
Sure, our purpose is to defend constitutional rights and uphold the Constitution. We're one of the nation's oldest and most venerable public interest litigation groups. We've been around since the mid-1970s, and we look forward to another 40 years standing up for people when the government invades your rights. I mean, the simplest way I describe my job description is we stop the government from doing annoying things that hurt people.
Well, that's a full-time job, is it?
Yeah, I'd love to face unemployment, but it's not realistic.
No, you won't have to worry about that. The most annoying thing, and it seems to me, around these days is our federal government. Anyway, Braden, thank you so very much for coming on talking about this, and the best of luck in getting this accomplished.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. All right, Braden Bocek. We're going to take a break. When we come back, among other things, should we be paying climate change reparations to poor countries? That is what the UN has decided they're going to do. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Do you have questions about navigating the confusing world of health insurance? Then just ask Angela. That's right, just ask Angela. Every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Angela will discuss topics such as individual, family, and group health insurance plans, life insurance, original Medicare, supplemental plans, and much, much more. Just ask Angela every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. and visit her website, justaskangela.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday. Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. Please, Paula, I apologize for the sound. I'm still battling a little bit of a cold. I hope to be over it quickly. I certainly don't want to have it by Thanksgiving, but right now we're still dealing with it. In the meantime, what is going on with the United Nations? I'm beginning to wonder if they're more trouble than they're worth. Representatives from nearly 200 countries have reached an agreement to pay reparations to poor countries that have been supposedly victimized by climate change. I see. How, first of all, do we determine that those countries have been victimized as opposed to other countries that have not been victimized by climate change? I think that needs to be discussed before you start handing out wads of money. The deal, it was gaveled down in the Red Sea city of, it's a resort city apparently, Sharm el-Sheikh. It's a resort city, and they established a fund for what neighbors call loss and damage. It was apparently a big win for poorer nations that have long called for money, sometimes viewed as reparations, because they are often the victims of floods, droughts, and heat waves. Well, I guess, I mean, I feel bad for the countries to get hit like that. And, you know, the United States is always one of the first countries to offer financial aid whenever a cataclysmic event occurs. But, you know, forcing this money out of countries, I'm not so sure. Let's see here. It says, while the fund would be largely aimed at the most vulnerable nations, there would be room for middle-income countries severely battered by climate disasters also to get the aid. As usual, details have yet to be worked out. It will likely be a major topic at a climate conference in the United Arab Emirates next year. Here's the deal. I wonder if they're ever going to get anywhere with this one. It's just going to be one of these back burner things. Hey, we got to figure out a way to pay reparations to some of these poorer countries. Oh yeah. Well, Joe, put it on the shelf. We'll certainly discuss it the next time we get together. You know, I just wonder if that'll get anywhere. Now, environmentalists are apparently excited. They said, this is a win for our entire world. Others express disappointment. I'd express disappointment that they're doing this. I mean, do they have this kind of money to spend? Don't we have other things we're kind of concerned about right now? You would think so. So, we'll see where this goes. But it sounds like a weird, weird deal. That's what I have to say, anyway. Let's do this. Let's take our second break here. I'm going to go get a glass of water. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what is going on in the world and the top 10 states with the lowest rate of obesity.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. Hey, we have our old buddy, Angelo Ceresi, joining us here, our eye in the northern sky from, I would guess it's very snowy Rochester, New York this morning. Right, Angelo?
Well, we do have some snow, but not as much as Buffalo and Hamburg, New York. Oh, 77 inches of snow they have.
How many inches do you have there? Do you have any?
We got a trace. What happened is the storm stayed a little west of here. It happened in 1977. You know, the storm hit Buffalo, then it hit Batavia, the next city over, and then from there it went up north. But it missed us this time.
I see. So you don't have like 6 feet of snow like they do.
No, that snow will be around till June or July in Buffalo. When you have piles of snow like that, it's happened over here. You've had snow piles, you know, like in parking lots all the way till July.
Good Lord. So I don't know if we've spoken since the November elections. But I want to get your take on the gubernatorial election and overall. What do you think of the what happened both in New York and across the country with the elections?
I know they were talking about a red wave and it just never materialized. I don't get it. I mean, the Republicans got 6 million more votes than the Democrats, and how is it that it ended up the way it did? You know, I mean, then still counting in Arizona and Nevada, they were, until after the election. It's always, when you have those mail-in ballots, it always favors the Democrats anyway. I don't get it. I mean, maybe the people just wanted to keep the status quo because of what's going on right now with the economy. But the crime, I just can't believe it. You know, especially in New York, what carried Kathy Hochul was Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. So the Kathy Hochul wins again over Lee Zeldin. There was it. Did it end up being very close?
Very, very close. I would say almost like a 3% thing that it happened. Taking in all the consideration, he almost pulled it off. Upstate New York, I mean, it all went for Lee Zeldin, except maybe a couple of counties. But what carried her was Manhattan, down in Manhattan, New York.
Apparently, they don't understand, or they do understand, or does it make any difference? Seems like most of the major cities stayed Democratic in their voting, from what I can see.
Oh, the Democrats stayed behind being Democrat.
That's what I mean.
What I think happened is whoever leaked that abortion issue, which is a big issue, no doubt about it. I mean, they leaked that abortion issue that the Supreme Court was going to overturn the Roe v. Wade in the end of May, beginning of June. They got their base fired up, and they constantly talked about it 24/7, and it carried over into the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats fiercely want that abortion. They fight for it, and that's it.
Yeah.
And so much misinformation. Not that they overturned it, they sent it back to the states,
Well, that's why I wonder if it really was that big of an issue, or if it was just that these people that went to the polls are already locked in. It didn't make any difference.
I think the country is still divided, as you can see, you know. I mean, look at the Senate. It's going to be 50-50 or 51, you know, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But and Lee Zeldin did help carry his area, Long Island, with the congressional seats. That helped.
Yeah, there were a few Republicans that won some seats in areas that are blue in New York, right?
And yes,
I guess also the Republicans did indeed win the House.
Yes.
Now, there are some of these races that are yet to be called. Why? I cannot understand. It's been 2 weeks since the election now.
You can put a man on the moon, but you can't count the election.
Yeah, I don't understand. I would fire any of those people that have anything to do with vote counting in those states. Or maybe the whole process needs to be revamped.
If I would still say you just votes, have election day, one day, or say even 2 days. But you have a national holiday. People go and vote, right? And the only way to do mail-in ballots is either you're an invalid, you know, you have a disability that you can't make it to the polls. But that's it.
Well,
and then you count the ballots just the way it's supposed to be.
I wouldn't even make it a national holiday. We got along fine with Tuesday for years and years in this country. Great turnout. We would get the votes, and at the end of the night, we knew who was who.
Who won?
Yeah. We all went to the precincts on the same day. The only difference were those that were, bedridden, that were, you know, they had certain provisions, and the military.
Right, in the military.
And those ballots came in a little bit later anyway, because they were already sent out earlier. But other than that, you know, we got ballot harvesting now, and we got mail-in voting all over the place, and it just doesn't make any sense.
It's terrible. Really terrible.
So what else is going on?
Well, not a whole heck of a lot. I got a good report last week. I had to go to the hospital to get the heart thing checked out. They put a new generator in for the heart.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah, the other one was 9 years old. You know, it's all from the Agent Orange in Vietnam. Then I went on an honor flight to Washington, D.C. They took the veterans.
Oh, yes. When was that?
That was October 22nd through the 23rd.
That must have been kind of interesting. And do you recall on that trip seeing anybody that you remember from the war?
Well, there was a couple of guys that was in our Chapter 20, the Vietnam Veterans of America. They were with me. And my son was my guardian. You have to have a guardian to go with you, you know. And what impressed him was when we went to the, you know, the World War II Memorial, and right down the side is the Korean War Veterans and the Vietnam Veterans Wall, you know, where all the names are etched on. And my son couldn't believe all the names that were on the wall of the GIs that were killed in action at the time that I was there, you know.
Oh, sure.
And then what really impressed him, too, was Arlington National Cemetery.
Yes.
To see the headstones of all everybody that served in this country that died for this country. Really impressed him, you know. I mean, because they don't teach this stuff in the schools, you know. Even when he was going to school, and he's 44 years old, they stopped teaching a lot of this stuff about World War II, the Korean War, you know, the Forgotten War, the Vietnam War. Where all they're teaching is how bad the country is, you know.
Yeah.
Not what the good of this country is. Yes, we have our flaws. Granted, like everybody, but still, it's still the best country going. And I'd still put the uniform on of this country.
I'm sure you would. You know, hat in hand with that is a story I've got here about how the Pentagon promotes critical race theory and gender identity these days. They have lost the understanding of what they are all about, what they're supposed to be doing. To start worrying about critical race theory and gender identity? I mean, if we start worrying about that, we've really lost our way. It says here the Biden administration has launched a diversity and equity initiative in the military that popularize elements of critical race theory and gender identity. And there is There's been some pushback on it. Here is a report, apparently, that is very critical of that theory. It says in the report, our military's singular purpose is to provide for the common defense of our nation. It cannot be turned into a left-wing social experiment. It cannot be used as a cudgel against America itself, and it cannot be paralyzed by fear of offending the sensibilities of Ivy League faculty loungers. So, I mean, this is if this is really where the Pentagon is going, we're in trouble, don't you think?
Well, it's no, any time the Democrats have control of the military, right? They do these crazy things. Like when I was in the service, they had a thing called Project 100,000. And I was one of those Project 100,000 where, at the time, you know, we those of us that didn't go to college, they figured, well, they used to call us, who's the Secretary of Defense there?
Oh, McNamara?
McNamara's morons.
McNamara's
so we didn't
morons.
Go to college, right? They called us McNamara's morons, that we could learn a trade in the service. You know, we could be wasted for our country, you know. For us being killed didn't matter because, you know, the ones that were going to college and continue on with their furthering their education, they were going to be the backbone of this country. And those of us, we were expendable, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And,
I know exactly what you mean.
And this was the Democratic theory during the Vietnam War.
Yep.
It's pretty sad,
well,
isn't it?
I mean, when you go back and you see how we ended up fighting that war, or should I say half fighting it?
Well, we couldn't even put a round in our chamber. We had to say, halt, dung lie, three times before you could chamber a round into the firearm.
Say what? What would you
believe
say?
It? Halt, or dung lie means halt. You had to say that three times before you could fire on the enemy.
Oh,
that was what they called the MACV rules of engagement.
You, in other words, stop where you are.
Right. Stop where you are.
Talking to somebody that's approaching you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was one of the rules of the MACV rules of engagement.
McNamara later said that they were pulling their punches in the war, that they were not out to win the war. That they were just running in place. And in the meantime, while they were running in place, all of these American lives were being sacrificed.
Right. We were supposed to contain communism over there.
I mean, if you think about it, that's almost traitorous. I mean,
absolutely.
To send guys over there to risk their lives without having a clear-cut purpose of winning the battle, accomplishing what you're supposed to be accomplishing so that we can get the hell out of there and return it to be, you know, to whatever a peaceful nation we want it to be.
Right. It was a civil war, really, between the North and the South.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get involved, and then they called it a war of containment, containing communism over there before it spread over here.
Right.
They believed in that domino theory.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any, everybody has an opinion, I guess, about who should be running for president on the Republican side. And the only one that's announced is Trump. Do you still back him?
Well, I'll tell you what. I will back whoever between Ron DeSantis and between Governor DeSantis and Donald Trump.
Okay.
I mean, I got to see and wait and see how it's going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to pick and choose right now, it's still too early.
Yep.
Number one, President Trump has to go through a primary again anyway.
Yes, he does. Yep.
And we'll have to see how that plays out.
But you said
if he's the nominee, yes, I will back him up.
Right.
Or if Ron DeSantis is the nominee, I will back him up.
Okay. Yeah, it is kind of early. And DeSantis is still, even though a lot of us that follow politics understand who Ron DeSantis is, there's a lot of people that still don't really know much about him to form an opinion one way or the other.
Well, all you have to do is take a look at what happened and the way he has run the state of Florida, and he'd be one hell of a president.
By the way, your brother called last week, and him and Trump have made up. Everything's good again.
They made up. He's got the. Yeah.
He's back on the train.
They're all made up now. I'll kiss the made up.
Yeah, he's back on the train. Hey, funny story. How dedicated Buffalo Bill fans. As you know, the game had to be moved to Detroit because Buffalo got snowed in with 7 feet of snow.
Well, right.
The players needed to get out Saturday to fly out. And evidently, word had gone around on Twitter that these players could not get out of their homes and didn't know if they were going to be able to play. So Bills Nation there got a hold of the players' addresses and started heading over there with snowplows and shovels and snowblowers and got them all out, got them on the road, and got them to the airport.
Now that is dedication.
They had a police escort to the airport,
that
too.
That is
dedication. It's called Bill's Nation or Bill's Mafia.
Yeah, Bill's Mafia, yeah. I mean, can you imagine that, just putting that on a Twitter? I live at such and such, I need to get out, and they show up there with snowblowers.
You know, think of it this way. What a life you must have if you have neighbors and people you don't even know coming over and cleaning your driveway so that you can go out and play a football game and get paid millions of dollars.
It's a good thing they won
that game.
That's
a pretty good life, isn't it?
It's a good thing they won the game, too.
Did they win?
Yeah, they did.
Uh-huh. Wow. I wonder how many people were in the stadium. I mean, in Detroit, do they give a damn about those two teams?
I heard that they sold about 50,000 tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
Of Detroit
and those
fans.
Here in Rochester and Buffalo,
well, so, no,
they will get a refund.
Yeah, I think Buffalo fans traveled, and then a lot of Buffalo fans are in Detroit too.
I see.
So,
and then they're going to be there for Thanksgiving Day too. They're going to play the Detroit Lions.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're going to come home. They're going to come home for a couple of days and then head back to Detroit because they're going to play Thursday in Detroit.
If they can get in.
Why should they even come back? Would they come back?
It's already you're already going to miss your family on Thanksgiving because you're going to be in Detroit.
Yeah.
So most players have Thanksgiving the day before.
I see what you mean.
Or a couple of days before.
Seems like it. Why don't they just celebrate after Thanksgiving?
Well, because everybody's in Christmas mode then.
Oh, I see. Well, let's put it this way: they're up in nice hotels. They're playing a football game. They're getting a lot of money. And their driveways will be shoveled when they're home.
I just thought it was funny that some players were so nervous about getting to the airport that they put their address out on Twitter.
Isn't that something?
So Bill's Mafia could get out there and snowblow their driveway.
Oh, boy, those devoted fans. Now you see why.
They are. You got to see them out there.
Fanatics.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. They must be. Well, Angelo, thanks for calling.
Well, sorry, you're quite welcome. I appreciate it.
Sorry, I'm coughing my way through the talk with you, but it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too, also, and take care of yourself. I hope you feel better.
Thank you. I know I will. All right. Angelo Ceresi, our Eye of the Northern Sky. Well, let's do this. Let's take our final break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little more sports with Ed. And I'm going to give you the top 10 lowest states with the lowest obesity rate.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Make sure you tune in to Burning Rubber Radio Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Network. Burning Rubber Radio will bring you up to date on what's going on in NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, and anything else that has two or four wheels and races. That's Burning Rubber Radio Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Network. Burning Rubber's brought to you locally by BigStormBrewery.com.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Monday. 3 days before Turkey Day. And we hope you have a wonderful and peaceful Thanksgiving. In the meantime, Ed, are you familiar with, or have you ever been snagged under or a part of the membership of TikTok?
No. That's basically a kid's platform there.
Did you know that it somehow creeped onto my iPhone? I finally figured out how to get rid of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was getting creepy messages from somebody on TikTok.
I told you to stay off those things.
It is. It's creepy. Anyway, a Democrat, a Senate Democrat, Mark Warner, says Donald Trump was right to go after China on the TikTok situation. He made the comment on Sunday, on Fox News Sunday. He said that the TikTok app represents a major threat to Americans' privacy. He also warned parents against allowing their kids to download it. So it apparently has a way of sucking info out of you. I think that's pretty scary.
Well, you have to remember, when Trump was still in office, he warned people against TikTok.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And he wanted to ban them, period. And they were, because it was around kids, they were following kids and knew the locations of where the kids were and stuff like that. And people didn't take him serious.
Yeah, you're right. Well, this is Senator Mark Warner, again, a Democrat out of Virginia. He said, I think Donald Trump was right. TikTok is an enormous threat. He says, so if you're a parent and you got a kid on TikTok, I would be very concerned. All of the data that your child is inputting and receiving is being stored somewhere in Beijing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like that idea. Not at all. Very scary. Okay. Anyway, we were talking a little bit earlier about cruising over to Detroit to play a football game. In the meantime, I guess the Tampa Bay Bucs did they have an off week here?
Yeah, they had the bye week.
Oh, they did. They're doing pretty good again. They're actually back in, am I right? They're in first place. Or they're tied for first, even though it's not a great record.
They're in a first place of a really crummy division.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still in first place. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about the NFL playoffs. You can be under 500 and make the playoffs if you're in the right division, you know what I mean? Where nobody else is winning anything.
They're 500 right now.
They are 500. Yeah. So, who's playing? I guess Detroit is playing Buffalo on Thursday, Turkey Day.
Yes.
Do we have any other teams? There's usually about three games now. I don't know.
I can't remember. Cowboys are one of them.
Oh, they always play.
And the Patriots.
All right. And what's going on with our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning?
Again, they pulled another one out of their you-know-what. Looked like they were, I think they were down, I think it was 2-1 or 3-1 against Nashville.
They won that one in overtime.
They came back and won in overtime. Yeah.
They seem to be getting their mojo back a little bit.
Getting back to that form in 2020 when they were, pulling them out late.
Yeah. Somebody was very upset. I know you don't watch, or maybe you do, but I don't think you do. There was a college football game where the University of Illinois was playing, what team was it, Ohio State? It was playing a team that was ranked third in the country.
Yeah.
They were leading up until the final couple of minutes, and he thought they got a real bum rap by the referees, and he was jumping all over them at the end. I guess that's just part of football.
You know, when you're a coach and one goes your way, you sure as hell don't go out there and thank them for giving you that extra win.
Yeah. Yeah.
It goes both ways.
It does go both ways, yep. And you got a lot of other sports. You got college basketball that's kind of coming into its own right now, as well as the NBA games, so I don't know. Are there any other major? I guess there's no other major things going on we need to discuss.
No.
All right. Well, then it is time for you to get over on the drums, Ed, because we have our top 10 coming up here, and this is on a Friday. We gave you the top 10 states with the highest rate of obesity. Do you remember, Ed, which was the state with the highest rate?
It's in the southeast.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Where the Mountaineers...
Oh, wait a minute, Virginia, West Virginia.
West Virginia, yeah. That is correct. The coal miner country. They must sit around after they knock out all that coal and just sit around and I don't know what they do. Oh. Eat a lot of chicken and drink a lot of beer, maybe. Who knows? Anyway, the top 10 states with the lowest obesity rate. This is according to Wallop Hub, and here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is the state of Washington. It has a, let's see, obesity prevalence of 37 out of 50. The higher the number, the better. In other words, number one, you're really bad. And its health consequence rate is 35. And its food and fitness rate is 43, for whatever that's worth. All right, number 9. Arizona. Guess people are out walking about in all that sun, right?
Sweat.
Mountain air. They have a 35 obesity prevalence, 47 health consequence, 25 food and fitness. Number 8. The Empire State, New York. I'm surprised. But they're 3rd, or 8th, rather. That's pretty good, I guess. Their health consequence is 43. Again, it's a little bit better than the other two. And, no, that was their obesity prevalence. Actually, these numbers don't mean anything. I don't know why I'm reading them. Anyway, number 7. Number 7 is California. Yep, the land of fruit and nuts. A lot of people out, I guess, you know, kind of like Arizona in some ways. That's the way I look at it anyway. Number 6, Minnesota. They're health conscious in Minnesota. It certainly isn't a lot of sun and fun, but maybe they're out, you know, snowmobiling or something like that, or ice skating. Number 5, Hawaii. Hawaii always does well in these things.
Yeah.
They eat a lot of fruit there. That's all I can think of. Bananas and pineapples.
Spam.
They eat spam.
Okay. All they eat out there.
Really? Yeah. Why do they eat spam?
Ever since the war.
They got all the spam cans left over? My goodness. All right. Number 4. Massachusetts. Massachusetts. I guess all the liberals in Massachusetts are skinny. That's all I can think of. I don't know why. But they're number 4. Number 3. Would you believe the District of Columbia is 3rd?
Wow.
Now, why is that? We got a lot of politicians there. Are they maybe because there are so many weight training programs that are going on to keep all these people fit when they get in front of the camera? Who knows, right? Number 2. Utah. Well, again, Utah, I can see. You know, what is it? Skiing and Mormons tend to have a healthy lifestyle. You don't see a lot of overweight Mormons. That's all I can think of anyway. All right, Ed, what do you think is the number 1 state? And you know it well.
Probably Florida.
You know it well, but not that well.
Yeah.
How about Colorado?
Okay.
Colorado is number 1. Are you surprised?
No.
I'm not either. Colorado, with all of its activities and skiing and mountains and everything else, is number 1 best place when it comes to your weight. All right, thank you so very much. God willing, we will be back on Wednesday, pre-Thanksgiving. In the meantime, please remember that freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
If I had to choose.
On the hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Patrons at an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs are getting credit for stopping a gunman who shot and killed 5 people at a transgender remembrance Saturday night. Police Chief Adrian Vasquez tells CBS Mornings.
The gunman, as he entered, immediately opened fire and started walking through the club doing so.